And I remember my father taking me to Enrico, which is an Italian pastry slash cafe shop. By the way, every cafe serves pastry too. That's a given. Like if you have a coffee shop, pastry goes side by side. And the pastry culture also is, I think, Italian. The Italians trained some Ethiopians, and those Ethiopians started, opening their own, pastry shops. And there is always coffee and tea and milk.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is unfortunately the final episode of a five-part series where we are talking about the sustainability of coffee in Ethiopia. And joining me for this episode is Sara Yerga. Now, folks, before I jump into this conversation, I just want to say something. There's a lot happening in the world of coffee. I occupy an interesting space in the industry because I have a business that is very neutral. I don't own a roastery. I don't own a cafe. I don't own a business that touches the coffee. That puts me in a very unique space in the industry because of the influence that this podcast has, where people come and tell me a whole bunch of stuff. I can't talk about the majority of that stuff on this podcast. In the future, you may hear about things that are happening in the supply chain all over the world. And I don't want people to come back and say, but why didn't Lee talk about it on the podcast? I want it to be very, very clear that the reason that I'm not talking about certain things, if you hear about them in the future, is because we have to keep people safe and because everything has its time and place that it needs to be spoken in. So, sometime in the future, you are going to hear about a whole bunch of things that have happened in the supply chain all over the world. Please, please trust me that we are taking care of folks that need to be taken care of before these things can be spoken about and before solutions can be made. Okay. So now back to our conversation where we are talking, Sara, about in this episode, cafes and coffee roasting culture, the coffee roasting culture in Ethiopia. And people might be surprised to know how vibrant it actually is. So why don't you tell us about it?
Cafe culture. The coffee culture in general, we discussed in our
Yes.
previous episode, like two episodes before. But the cafe culture is just, I mean, beautiful in Ethiopia. I
Wow.
think we kind of took the, that's an Italian influence somehow. That's how it started. I believe for me, it might not be written in the books, but the Emperor Minilik, who lived over a century ago, was the first kind of the king that brought modernization to Ethiopia, transportation like vehicles, postal service, railway, school, hospital, telecom. So, and restaurant. Before he asked his wife to operate a restaurant, there was no restaurant culture in
Really?
Ethiopia. So, yes. So, he, you know, there is this thing where the king invites his, ministers and whatever you can call them in Amharic, there is a name, shumamans. They he feeds them like because they kind of bring resources to him from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
There is this big feast that he invites everyone and have a party with music and food and drinks. But it's the king's responsibility. He has to do that and nobody pays for it, okay?
Okay.
So no one paid for food before. No, it was never, it never happened.
Really?
So he asked his wife to operate this restaurant. Now it's in the middle of Addis Ababa and the old town side, which is perfectly situated between the municipality and the famous street, the Churchill Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Aitu Hotel. That was Empress Aitu, his wife, and the emperor was Minilik. This restaurant was named after her. It's called Aitu Restaurant. It was the first restaurant in Ethiopia. So he invited those people that used to eat for free, drink for free, entertain for free, and they were served as usual, and they were asked to pay for the food, and they were shocked, and there were poems written about it, songs written about it, like, what's happening to us, and the king is making us pay for food. I believe the coffee also... I believe coffee is served. I choose to believe that because there is no event that happens without coffee. So they might have paid for coffee too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that would have been the place that started.
I think our cafe culture started there.
Wow.
And most of the big cafes, coffee shops, until recent days, are in that location.
Wow.
Around that Aitu restaurant, Piazza area. Piazza is Italian, you know, Italian names. Most of the buildings are built by the Italians. For the 5 years they were in Ethiopia, although we were not colonized, they were allowed to work with the government for a few years. And there are buildings that were built by Italian architects. And that's where our cafes were located. And I grew up in that area, so I can tell you, stories about where I used to go, like the famous cafes in those areas. Then Tomoka as a modern cafe is one of the first ones that we know. And there was Gebre Tensai, there was Crisis. The names are funny. There was Belaita Klu on the other side of the town. There were cafes in those locations when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I remember my father taking me to Enrico, which is an Italian pastry / cafe shop. By the way, every cafe serves pastry too. That's a given. Like if you have a coffee shop, pastry goes side by side. And the pastry culture also is, I think, Italian. The Italians trained some Ethiopians, and those Ethiopians started, you know, opening their own, you know, pastry shops. And there is always coffee and tea and milk. So I remember... I was told my dad used to take me, but I remember also some of it going with my dad. He have sharing some coffee macchiato with his friends, me having my milk and my pastry, enjoying it and going back home, walking because it's close by. It's in the neighborhood. So I think people who grow up in Addis will share the same story like I do. Most of us grow up going to cafes. And when you become of age, like 17, 16, 18, and you start working with your friends, cafes are where you go to because you cannot afford to go to a restaurant to order food, but you can afford to have coffee for, let's say, coffee. I think we had macchiato for 50 cents, 75 cents. Ethiopian cents, okay. A pastry for 50 cents. There is this big baklava place where there is coffee, tea, and baklava only, no other pastry. So if you want baklava, you go to that cafe. We share one baklava because it was big and it was only 50 cents, 75 cents. And we slice it into four and enjoy. It is kind of something we really enjoy, and it's part of our social fabric as well.
Tell me something.
That's where people read. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm fascinated by when Ethiopians go for coffee. Is it like you guys get up in the morning and go to a cafe and grab a coffee on the way to work? Or do you have your coffee, your morning coffee at home?
Usually it's at home, but most of the time, cafes are busy during lunchtime. People go there, office people go there after lunch. There is a coffee break in Ethiopia, by the way, between 10 and 10:30. You're allowed to go walk out and have coffee. Your office might have a coffee club also, like a small catering corner where they serve coffee. So you can go to your office canteen or you can leave the compound and go for coffee in the surrounding. There is cafe. Cafes are all over the place.
Wow.
Also, that's where people also gather to talk about politics, to talk about it. Like the traditional ceremony.
Yes.
This is where mainly also again, the men gather. If it is after office hours, you know where they go. Like you can go to a bar and, you know, but during office hours, even after office hours for students like us, college students, cafes are like the common place to have a meetup, have fun. Even after I start working as an adult, like we just going to the one of the high-end cafes is like kind of a thing, you know, it's a vibe.
It's a vibe. I love
just go
that.
In a group.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe. You just go to a, yes, because then, you know, big cafes with modern twist, people, diaspora is coming back, opening this fancy cafe and in the neighborhood that I have my cafe now, like the high-end community, just walking into a cafe makes you feel like you have it all figured out. Okay? So,
can you find me a cafe that I can walk into so I feel like I've got it figured out?
Like having coffee with macchiato with your friends with a slice of pastry. That's it. You are
done.
That's
it. You've made it.
So this is the culture. Yeah.
Tell me, it's fun. It sounds like pastries are a big part of the cafe culture. Macchiatos are a big part of the cafe culture. Yeah. Is cake something that, do people eat cakes and do cafes serve savory as well?
Yes, absolutely. Especially it's kind of mandatory. Not recently. Okay. My coffee shop, as I told you, you might find croissant, kind of an English cake sometimes. Waffles, we make them, and oatmeal. And many, many. I remember the number of people that used to come when I was having. My good friend makes amazing pastries. But the management of specialty cakes is difficult. So I was not able to continue. My specialty is coffee. So I would rather serve good coffee and maintain those customers than, you know, do wrong with something I don't know. So pastry is a big part of cafes, especially they go into baking. And also most cafes these days, cafes are an entry point to growing and to become a full-fledged restaurant.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. So it's the entry
they
point.
They could become a pizza house or a burger place, but there is always coffee. There is always a coffee corner where you can order your coffee. People will ask for coffee after they eat, so it has become normal. For specialty, I call myself a specialty coffee experience because we educate, we serve coffee as it should be, and of course we serve the traditional macchiato, which is not the macchiato you know in Italy. Our macchiato is different. It is half milk, and you just pull the espresso on the milk.
That's a stub. That's
and
like
it's a
Starbucks.
Kind of a cortado.
Yeah, it's kind of a cortado,
yeah, it's
right?
Kind of a cortado. Yeah. So, cafe culture is so vibrant, and it is creating jobs for many, many young people.
And it's thriving.
And it is creating jobs.
But as an economy, is it thriving? And are young people like rushing to open their own cafes or work in cafes?
Absolutely. Like these days, you see young people understanding the barista profession. The past 5 years, Yakofi partnering with Hyatt Regency, the hotel, we've been conducting barista competitions locally, just to inspire young people. Then this led up to a regional competition this year.
Wow.
That was that was a dream come true for me. These young people that were just doing barista work for the money, they didn't know where it could take them, it could lead them. They were just in one of the five competitions the last 5 years, and they are called champions for that year. There are opportunities that come with it. People just, 2 years later, it was during COVID. The second one was during COVID that we did a virtual judge from Italy.
Wow.
From Dubai, Coffee Planet, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Claire is one of the mm-hmm. judges. Regine from Nairobi. My good friend Panos was from Athens, but he was traveling to Milan. So he was in Milan or somewhere in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Those three judges, they were online.
That's amazing.
They were technically judging everyone from a camera, hooked to the baristas.
Oh, wow.
And I had sensory judges from the Coffee and Tea Authority and from the Commodity Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The results combined, we had our champion that year. Then the next year, COVID was gone, so we had to do it in public. People were attending. Can you believe it? Cafe owners just waiting for who is going to be in the top three so that they can snatch them, offer them good salary and take them. That was that
wow.
warms my heart. That just, yes.
Do you know?
So
you
people started understanding the value of, that coffee is not just only something they enjoy in a cup. It is something that is inspiring young people, creating jobs, changing lives, because those that went through that competition are not the same anymore. They know something.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we had our, from the 5 years champions, top three, we had 12 of them available here. The rest, they were traveling the world. People were hiring them abroad. One is in Dubai. The other one is somewhere else. So this 12 had to compete for a national championship. Out of the 12, the three of them were, top three were representing Ethiopia in the African Fine Coffees event. Barista
Amazing. So it sounds like there are opportunities there for the barista competitions
huge
create genuine opportunities. I love to hear that.
Absolutely.
I love to hear that. It really sounds that you guys have a thriving cafe and roasting culture that's actually lifting up the youth and giving them something to do at a time where that's not the same that's happening pretty much anywhere else in the world. The youth are just deciding no.
Did I tell you if we are given the green light, I think we have the capacity to consume every coffee we produce. Each bean. The last bean.
Let's hope that happens because I feel you guys are gonna do better at that than the exporting situation.
We are big consumers, yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Sara, this has been the first series of, I hope, many times you come on the podcast. Thank you very much. If people want to find...
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. If people want to find out about Ya Coffee, how do we find you on social media?
Yeah, I am on LinkedIn as Sara uh-huh. Irga. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter as Sara Irga, of course. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, I am as Ya Coffee, as Cherish Addis, and as Yeni Ethiopia. That is my personal one, but you can find me as Ya Coffee.
And
Cherish at this.
Okay.
Yes. And that's connected with Facebook because now Instagram and Facebook are Meta.
Yes.
So we are on the same platform. Our website, although it's under construction, they might find some information. But if you Google Sara Irga and Ya Coffee, you will find stories about us, companies
awesome.
That work with us, and interviews we had, articles that were written about us. You'll find a lot of information on Google.
I'm not surprised.
If you Google coffee roasting in Ethiopia, you will find Yakofi in the
You're the number one.
List.
Of course you are. I'm not surprised at all. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you, Sara, very, very much.
I feel honored to be on your platform, and thank you for sharing this moment with me.
It's my
thank
pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Lee.
Now tell me, will you do me the honor? Will you say peace, love, and peanut butter and sign off for us?
Peace, love, and peanut butter.
Have an amazing rest of your day, everyone. Bye. Thank you, Sara.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
Bye. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.